Good morning again. Nice to be here with you. I thought I would talk a bit about why we meditate and maybe a little bit about some of the myths that there are about meditation. Why should we take the time to meditate? It's worth reviewing. I know you probably have your own reasons, but I thought I would look at some of the common ones and also the myths that are circulating around meditation. First, why bother? It takes a lot of time. We're unable to pursue our other interests. We have to sacrifice time away from our families, away from our jobs, and many other interests. Meditation is not easy. The practice itself can be easy, but the diligence needed for any substantial effect is quite hard. It's very rare for someone, for example, to take a class and then sit daily for the rest of their life. And there are usually many stops and starts for all of us. We may bother because we find ourselves heir to an inherent unsatisfactoriness of life. And this is one way of describing the first noble truth. We try to distract ourselves from this, but it doesn't work long term. Sometimes you feel maybe that everything's caving in on itself, and you hide it. We think, and then we also have an intuition that there must be able to touch into things more deeply, to touch life. And also, sometimes things are going well, and you just have the vague feeling that there must be something more. You sense that there's another realm of depth, but you feel cut off from it. So, what's wrong? You're human. We all have blocked feelings, emotional deadness, sometimes chronic tension, and we try to block it off with our goals and achievements to hide from it, but nothing is enough. We may see that the social currency of ordinary life is gross and aggressive, so we look for some place to get beyond that. And it is true that our practice can be a refuge, but a true practice does not take us away from our lives. It brings us into them with more intimacy. Or another way that we can think about it, or something else that can happen, we think that, well, if only if I had a better job, if only I could lose some weight, if only I had a prettier spouse, or if only I had a loving family, loving friends. So this is a version of the second noble truth: wanting things to be different than they are. And if things have to be just right for us to be contented, then we never will. So we're in this predicament because of our ingrained habits of thought, and we've built these up bit by bit over many years. And so we tend to untie these knots in our psyche bit by bit, same way we built them up. As we look at our experience, we start to see the identifications, the way that we respond with a set of preconceived patterns, that our experience in the moment is not fresh, but seen through veils. And most of the patterns of behavior and experience are unconscious. So it takes time to let them come to awareness, and then more time to understand. We learn not to reject our experience, and even in the difficult places, perhaps especially in the difficult places, and those then become opportunities for understanding, ways to see how we limit ourselves. So our meditation, in a kind of a simple way, just allows us to soften to the moment. I think all of you have probably experienced that at some time. We start to be more open and allow the impressions of life to touch us in a way that we're able to be less reactive, less action based on this patterned behavior. When we really, really see ourselves at first, it's usually something like a garden gone to the weeds. And much of our practice is seeing these weeds, allowing ourselves to weed them and allowing something else to grow. And then with our sitting practice, we come to the chair and we fertilize the ground. We help it to grow more. So there's many myths that are circulating about meditation too, and I thought I'd just touch on a couple of them, or a few of them. The first is, meditation is thinking lofty thoughts. Sometimes we have an image of a meditator as one is often thinking about, always thinking about the big things in life. But a Vipassana or insight meditation allows all thoughts, feelings, and sensations. And we include, to quote somebody, the whole catastrophe, whatever's there. Sometimes the experience is refined and lofty, and sometimes it's just noticing some reaction. The room is noisy and irritation is arising, for example. We don't push away the irritation. We simply notice it. And mostly our experience is just ordinary. Here's a related myth, that our goal is to get to some transcendent state where all our problems will go away. Now, this can be a motivation for coming to meditation for some people, but it's not an escape from our lives. Our meditation is to bring us closer to our lives. Our meditation starts to see that the way we tell ourselves little lies, and we see into them, and they loosen their grip. Over time, we can see ourselves as less reactive, but only by going into the difficult places, not by trying to get away from them. A related myth: the objective of meditation is to make my life healthier, smoother, problem-free. There's so many meditation classes these days which promise a more stress-free life. They are oriented around kind of a self-help orientation. I recently read of a class description that was entitled, "Meditate Your Worries Away." Now, this is a very limited view of meditation. It's been promoted by some of the mindfulness teachers that the point of meditation is the relief of high blood pressure, designed to, or other kinds of health problems. Now, the best mindfulness teachers understand that the mindfulness practice is designed to lead you to the doorway of understanding the emptiness of self. But many of the courses may not emphasize that. And there can certainly be a side effect of making your life better, but that's not the goal. We don't realize the profound benefit of realizing the emptiness of self by trying for a smoother life. In fact, we learn in our practice that we want to lean into those difficult places. Here's another myth. Meditation is a mysterious practice and cannot be understood. Now, there may be some truth to this statement. There are many experiences that we have that are difficult to put in words. And, you know, this is because the experiences are sometimes non-conceptual or might be considered prior to concepts. So words can approximate these experiences, but they can certainly be described and ultimately understood. One last myth. A couple of meditation retreats will change my life. Probably not. Now, there can be profound changes in your life as you practice, but it takes time. We're not doing something that can be learned like arithmetic or history learn a few concepts, and then you have it. Conceptual knowledge is only a very basic beginning, and it's not a belief system, our practice. When we say something like, for example, you are not your thoughts, which is a very basic insight that arises for many of us early in our practice, it doesn't mean much for you until you experience that for yourself. And also with the many other pointers of wisdom that we have. So I'll just close with a few attitudes that can help us along the way in our meditation. We want to sit with a non-gaining mind. And I'm using the phrase of a wonderful teacher, Shunryu Suzuki here. He used to talk about a non-gaining mind. And when we sit, we don't sit with a special goal or place to get to, and we don't expect anything in particular. Another is, don't strain. Let yourself relax into your practice as much as you can. Don't rush. Take your time. Allow each moment to develop as it does. And where life is kind of a marathon, not a sprint. Another is to accept each happening as it is completely. We try not to push anything away or cling to anything that comes our way. We just allow it to be there, whether it's wonderful or challenging. But we do bring curiosity to it, and that's how we understand ourselves over time, more deeply. And then the last thing is, be kind to yourself. Sometimes we see how our ego runs the show, and we can get kind of impatient, and we want to reject parts of ourselves. It can be tiresome to see yourself reacting to the same person or same situation over and over again the same way. But it will liberate itself when it's ready, and trust that your practice will do the heavy lifting for you. Thank you for listening.